person.
Christ has risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. The strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt. May we, who have not seen, have faith in you and receive the fullness of Christ's blessings, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated as we listen to the words proclaimed.
A reading from Acts. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man handed over to you, according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I say to you confidently of our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 16 responsively. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all other. All my delight is in the God and in the land, upon those who are noble among the people. For those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied. I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods, never take their names upon my lips. O Lord, you are my ocean and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot, my rich inheritance. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. I will not be shaken. My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope. For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the pit. You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. For if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Our extended family, my earliest years, we lived right next door to my grandparents. And when any of the cousins would come from out of town, we were always privileged to be a part of that big gathering. The aunties would, my mother had 9 sisters, the aunties would sit around the kitchen table. I don't know where the uncles were, but the aunties would sit around the kitchen table and talk, and we cousins would hide under the table. If we couldn't get under the kitchen table, we were right inside, right out in the dining room, but we were hiding under the table because we wanted to hear the stories. We wanted to hear the stories. And my youngest sister would later say that her favorite part of these family visits were the members. And we thought that she meant the members of the family. But she meant the storytelling. The stories that always started out, "Remember the time that, remember when we did that, remember," and then she would say, because she's quite a bit younger than the other cousins, she would say, "Was I born yet? Was I there?" I think that was the real difference. It wasn't just hearing the story, but it was being there that made the difference. Maybe that was the key for Thomas, too. He wanted his own experience with Jesus. He didn't just want somebody else's experience. He didn't want to hear about it. He wanted to be there, to experience himself. And Jesus reaches out his scarred hand in love and in tenderness. He reaches out to Thomas. He reaches out to us, the ones who have not seen, the ones who are yet to come to believe. Jesus wants us all to have our own experience, to be able to experience Jesus. So the disciples locked behind the closed doors because they are still huddled behind those locked doors. They're frightened. They're unsure. They're not filled with much belief. This is the team that will carry on that transforming message of Jesus. Feels to want to hide behind strong, locked doors. We know how it feels to want to hide from things that frighten us or confuse us. We don't often literally bar the doors like the disciples did on that Easter weekend.
What we tend to do is to close our minds and to close our hearts. We lock away our worries and insecurities, our addictions and our illnesses, our grudges and unforgiven past, our relationships that are less than whole and healthy, our self-righteousness, our pride. We lock up and hide away for the disciples and for us. First of all, this story tells us that we don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay hidden behind locked doors with all that stuff hidden away. The good news is that God has gone through our locked doors, just as he did in the gospel. God has come to us. Jesus didn't wait for the disciples to believe the words of the women who had seen the empty tomb, or to figure out exactly what happened on that Easter morning. He didn't wait for them to stop being afraid and unlock the door. Jesus didn't wait for Thomas to believe the amazing report of the other disciples that had come to see the Lord. He didn't wait for them to do anything. Do anything different, to be anything different. He showed up. He offered them peace and love. And that's all. He didn't ask them. God loves us. God doesn't stop there. We are invited to respond. He stepped into the cloudy, doubt-filled world of Thomas and inviting him to touch his wounds, to see for himself what he had been doubting. And he does the same thing for us, but a little bit different. Because Jesus touches our wounds and invites us to believe. I gave the disciples God's power, grace, his guidance. He breathed on them and gave them forgiveness. That's the spirit that was given at baptism. That's the spirit that we prayed would be poured out on Nathaniel at the beginning of our sugya that is given over and over again to us as God reaches out to us and makes us his new creation, makes us his members. When Jesus breathed a holy breath on the disciples, there wasn't any immediate change. A week later, they're still there, behind those locked doors. And the wonderful news of forgiveness and peace and the power of the Holy Spirit just sat there. It took them a while to understand. They're coming to believe and act on that is a process that they gradually grew into. It happens with us too. We live in a process. We gradually grow more and more in our faith and in our understanding. Disciples discovered that they had this gift of the Holy Spirit. They didn't discover it until they stepped out of that locked room and followed Jesus' command to be servants. It was only then that they discovered within themselves their ability and strength that Jesus had given them. Peter, filled with the breath of the Holy Spirit, was able to proclaim those bold truths that we heard in our first reading today, Spirit, until they started to speak to others. Maybe that's your story too. Maybe you have such a fire of the Holy Spirit, but because you haven't tried, or because you haven't spoken that out, you don't get this with the disciples. It wasn't that their fears went away and the world was changed when they saw Jesus. I would guess that they were still scared. They were still lonely. They were still filled with doubt. But something had changed. And what had changed was that Jesus was with them. And they knew that it was true in a way that they had never. That they were experiencing the presence of Jesus right now. And that's true for us as well. Jesus has walked through our locked doors and come to us in love. He breathed on us the breath of the Holy Spirit, and he has forgiven us and given us peace. And he sends us into the world just as he had been sent by the Father. This is the truth of Easter, and we have been sent to tell the world this truth. And we do that by loving one another. just as Jesus loved them. That's the work of the church. We are to reveal God to the world by loving and forgiving. God, through our love and forgiveness, the world can choose them to be in a relationship with God, with this God of limitless love. Our mission, the mission of this faith community, is not to be the arbitrator of right or wrong, but to bear that unceasing witness of the love of God in Christ Jesus, that Jesus Christ is alive, that he is breathing out love and forgiveness and peace for all of us. Tell that our God has stars too of our messy lives and offers us peace and forgiveness and invites us to touch his scars and be